Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Have you been dropped? Have you been abandoned or abused by people that you love? Many people that have been dropped like this now feel crippled in life. There is emptiness in their heart and sadness in their soul and a limp in their walk. On our last program, we began looking at a story in 2 Samuel chapter 9 that illustrates this issue. It is the story of a man named Mephibosheth. As a young boy, he was dropped and became lame. But we will see today that there is a solution to this lameness, and not only Mephibosheth's lameness, but yours as well. Let's now join Pastor John and learn how to overcome lameness.
Listen, folks, there's all kinds of stories in this amphitheater, all kinds of stories in your neighborhood, all kinds of stories at your job site. People that are crippled, that we say, you're lame. And they say, but what you don't know, I've been dropped. Pardon me, sir. Excuse me, ma'am. I'm sorry I don't walk like you do. I don't run as fast as you can. I don't jump as high as you guys. But I've been dropped. And it's affected me. It's affected my walk. I'm crippled, quite frankly. I'm lame in the things I do. I'm lame in the way I think. It's true. But what can I do? Folks, I'm convinced personally that if we knew the secret stories of even our worst enemies, we would have nothing but compassion for them and nothing but love in our heart toward them. If we really knew people's stories, even our worst enemies. There is one, though, that does know the story. There's one that inquires, if you would. He's the king. He's the greater than David. He's the son of David. The king. The king. Calling out to those who are in pastureless places with crippled feet and can't breathe very well spiritually. Listen, if you feel lame tonight, if you feel crippled a bit, listen to me. Listen carefully. Do you hear it? Listen. The king is calling. The king is sending a messenger, me, to you. Tonight, the king is inquiring. The king is calling. Just like David in our story sent messengers to Mephibosheth, to the pastureless place, to invite him to come. Mephibosheth was summoned by the messenger of the king. The king is calling for you. No doubt fear flooded his heart. No doubt he was freaked out in his mind. Oh no. The king is calling for me. He's discovered where I am. He's discovered I exist. The only surviving member of Saul's family. He's going to lop off my head. He's calling for me to bring me into the court where he might thrust me through, wipe me out. Fear filled the heart, no doubt, of Mephibosheth. And that is why we read, as David called for him and Mephibosheth came, David said in verse 7, "Fear not. Mephibosheth, don't be afraid. Mephibosheth, falls on his face before David, falls at David's feet in humility, in fear, in trepidation. And David looks down at Mephibosheth and says, "Hey, Phoebe, it's okay. Don't be afraid. It's not what you think." Folks, let me tell you, a lot of times it's not what you think. A lot of times it's different than we know. We think, "Oh, I'm so lame and I have reason to be. I was dropped, but I know I've been acting in a lame brain way and I've been far, far from this pasture, from the Lord's people, whatever it might be. And if the king is calling for me today, it's because he wants to lop off my head, to shake me up, to spank me." Not so. Not true. Things are not always the way we think. It's like that chickadee in the barn up there in Minnesota, singing away day after day as chickadees do. Beautiful songs from that little bird singing there inside the barn. But then winter came and the temperatures fell radically and fell quickly. And that little bird found itself frozen, literally frozen. It couldn't flap its wing. It couldn't open its beak. It was dying and it fell off its beam down to the barn floor below, frozen, just about dead, when across the barn floor came walking a cow. And the cow walks right over the little bird who's frozen stiff, just about dead, and dumps a load on the little bird. And the bird is buried under a pile of manure. But something happened. The manure, you see, was warm. And the manure warmed up the little bird's body. And he began to move around a bit and began to stand up somewhat. And he poked his little head out of the pile of manure that he was buried in. And he began to chirp and he began to sing again. Well, that caused a cat to come by. And the cat looked at the little bird singing away, stuck in the pile of manure. And the cat said sweetly, "Could I dig you out?" And the bird, the chickadee, said, "Oh, would you please?" And the cat did so, dug the little bird out of the manure, and then popped that bird in its mouth and ate him alive. Now in our text, things aren't always the way they seem to be. What do you mean? Listen, everybody who dumps manure on you is not necessarily your enemy. And everybody who says, "Can I help you out?" is not necessarily your friend. Do you know that? "Why are you dumping on me?" Could be because that is going to warm you up and help you out. "Oh, sure, you can help me." Be careful. Watch out. It might seem like the cat's meow initially, but you could end up in that cat's belly, quite literally, devoured. Things aren't always what they seem to be. "Oh, no, David's going to kill me. He's going to lop off my head. I'm a dead dog," Mephibosheth said, as we shall see. "No, it's not that way. It's not what you think," David would say to Mephibosheth that day. "Fear not." Listen, verse 7, "I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake." King David said, "Because of your linkage to Jonathan, you're the son of Jonathan, I want to show kindness to you in two ways. First of all," he says, "I will restore you all the land of Saul, your father." Number one, I am restoring your land. You've been out there in a barren place, Lo Debar. Your father, Jonathan, and your granddad, Saul, had the best land in all of the nation. The king always did, you see. And David said, "And I'm giving you that land back. I'm restoring all your land. I'm restoring your land." And that's what the Lord would say to you, to us, today, if you choose to come, if you choose to heed my call and make your way to me today, I am going to restore all the land that was lost. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 25, there's a great verse familiar to many of you. In the time of Joel, the prophet, the land of Israel was devoured by grasshoppers, by locusts. And the Lord inspired the prophet Joel to say, tell the people, if they turn to me with all of their hearts, he says, I will restore to them the years that the locust has eaten. I love that. If they turn to me. Oh, they've wandered off. They've wandered away. But if they turn to me, I will not simply take them on. I will make up for lost time. I will restore the years that the locust has eaten. Maybe you're here and you feel like, man, there's stuff bugging me. There was stuff bugging them in Joel's day, believe you me. Grasshoppers everywhere. Locusts devouring everything. But God said, I know you've been bugged, but if you turn to me, not only will I take you on and deal with this plague of bugs, but I will restore to you that which was lost previously. Listen, folks, this is the heart of our Lord. He says, I will restore that which was lost. David said to Mephibosheth, I am restoring your land. Secondly, and verse 7 goes on to say, thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. I'm restoring your land and I'm reserving your place. There is a place reserved for you where? At my table. You are going to be at the king's table. You are going to be at my table with my sons, with my family. Mephibosheth, I'm restoring all the lands that were lost and I'm reserving a place for you at my table. It's at the Lord's table you find mercy. That's what she found. Jesus was sitting there in Luke 7, wasn't he? At the table of Simon the Pharisee, all kinds of religious dignitaries sitting around the table. Jesus was there. And during the dinner, while Jesus was at the table, a prostitute makes her way into the room. The religious guys are scandalized. They didn't know her story. Jesus would. They didn't understand where she had been, why she behaved that way. The Lord would know on that day. And this prostitute comes in and begins to wash Jesus' feet with her tears and wipe his feet with her hair. And Simon the Pharisee, the religious guy that was there, thought, if Jesus was really from God, he would know what kind of woman that was. Question is, how did Simon know what kind of woman that was? That's the real question. He seemed to know an awful lot about her. I wonder how. But be that as it may, Jesus knew what Simon was thinking that day. He said, Simon, I have a question to ask you. Simon the Pharisee said, go ahead. There was two men that owed their creditor money. One owed 500 pence, the other owed 50 pence. The creditor forgave both of those debtors. You're forgiven. The debt is canceled. Which, Jesus said, of those debtors is going to love that creditor the most? Simon stroked his beard, perhaps, and said, well, obviously, the guy that was forgiven the most, the guy that was forgiven the 500 pence. Jesus said, you've spoken well. When I came into your house, you didn't greet me with a kiss and you didn't wash my feet as was customarily, traditionally expected of. You didn't do that. But this woman, she has washed my feet and she's kissed them continually. And then Jesus said this, and Simon, the one who is forgiven much loves much. The one who knows how lame they are, how stupid they've been, how crippled they've walked in that condition. The one who realizes I'm a sinner is the one who's going to love Jesus the most. Now, it's not the one who does the most sin. It's the one who's aware of how much sin there is in their own life, you see. That's the one that loves him the most. And the Lord would say to you today, I've prepared a table before you. That's what the Lord says to us who live in dry places, who don't breathe very well, who are lame in what we do and are crippled, people like me and you. The Lord says, come. And what I'll do, I'll restore all that was lost, and I'll reserve you a place too at my table. What table? Come and dine at the master's table. Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. I want to have communion with you, the Lord would say. If any man hear my voice and opens the door of his heart, I will come into him and what? Sup with him. Come to the table. I know it's been dry in your soul. I know you feel suffocated spiritually. But the Lord would say to you and to me, come and dine. Eat the bread, drink the wine. Let me take control of you. Let me restore all that's been lost from you. That's what David said to this lame guy. Mephibosheth heard that. He bowed himself, verse 8, and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? I should be dead meat. I should be wiped out. Why would you invite me to dine at your table? Why would you restore to me that which has been lost? Why? Why? That's the question I ask. Lord, why would you be so good to me? To restore the things that were lost in my stupidity. When I ran from you to a faraway place. When I turned my back on you because I was worried or afraid of what you might do. And I did my own thing in Lo Debar, where it's arid and dry. And then you called me, Lord. And you want to make up for that which was lost previously. And you want me to dine with you continually. Amazing. Why would you do this for such a dead dog as me? Mephibosheth just marveled as he looked at David, amazed at David's grace and kindness. David here is a picture, a type, an illustration of the Son of David, the King of Kings, our Lord and leader, Jesus Christ. So, verse 9. The king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to his house. I'm giving it all back. Thou therefore, verse 10, and your son shall till the land for him, and bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Provide food for the whole family, but Mephibosheth personally is going to come and eat with me. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you see. So, Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said, verse 11, Ziba to the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. That's me. That's you. As many as received him, John chapter 1 says, to them gave he the power to become the what? Sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. You're a son of the king. You're a daughter of the king. You lame brains. We crippled people. Those of us that have spent so much time in a pastureless place, away from his people, running from his face. But yet he's called us to come. He's invited us to dine at his table continually. The question is, will you? Will I? Will we? The invitation has been given. The messenger has been sent. The invitation is given. I want to restore the stuff that's been lost, David said, and I want you to dine with me continually. Mephibosheth dwelt, verse 13, in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table. He was lame on both his feet. Mephibosheth heard the incredible, gracious, generous offer of the king. And you know what he did? He didn't say, well, thanks, king, but I'll see if I can drop in occasionally. Have a bite with you now and then. He said, King, I can't believe that you would do this for a guy like me. And I will eat at your table continually. Now, folks, listen. dine with the king. As your brother, as a pastor, I'm here to say a simple word today. Dine with the king. Take advantage of the invitation when he says to people like you and me, come and dine. Come to my table. Eat of my body. Drink of the wine. You don't have to be in a pastureless place. And the funny thing happens when you're at the table. Did you know when you're at a table, all of the king's children at the table, it's the only place really where twisted, crippled feet can't be seen. Lameness can't be noticed because the feet that are crippled and twisted, the feet that are lame, you see, are underneath the table, out of sight. That's why the Lord says, this is what I want you to do. You don't have to be barren and arid and dry like you've been for the past week or two or year or more or decade or whatever it's been. The Lord is giving the invitation. The King of Kings is calling for you once again, come and dine. Put those crippled feet under my table. They won't be seen by anybody there. And what you'll find is this. Lord, it's what I was looking for all the time, is to really be in communion with you. How can I do that, you say? Every morning, every noon, and every evening, we have communion here at church. The invitation to the King, come and dine. You don't have to say, I'm crippled and there's nothing I can do. I was dropped by him. I was hurt by her. I was brutally treated by these guys. And that's the way that I've got to be forever. No, it doesn't. I understand that we have been, that you have been, that many of us have been dropped hurtfully at some time or another, maybe even presently. I understand that. But do you understand that the King is saying, but come. Don't stay in that lame condition day after year after decade. Come. This is my body broken for you. I was broken that you might be healed. This is the blood that can wash away that sin and the memory of that stuff which is haunting you. Come and dine. And you'll find yourself back in the land again where you longed to be. Where you perhaps once were, or where you fantasized about. Is it possible that I could ever be free and happy and fulfilled? Do I have to go through my whole life feeling dry and pastureless? No. The Son of David, the King, is saying to you and to me today, hey, I know you've been dropped. I know that you've been crippled a bit and hurt real bad. But I'm calling you to take those crippled feet and put them under my table and find satiation and satisfaction. Be at the place where none of that stuff of the past enters in. It's under the blood. It's under my table. It's washed away. It's your opportunity to come and dine. Take advantage of it.
We all have that opportunity. Jesus is calling each of us to come to his table and allow him to deal with our lameness. It is our opportunity to be refreshed and restored. As Pastor John encouraged us, take advantage of the opportunity.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
Pastor John has often encouraged us to spend time each day contemplating the Word of God. One great way to do this is with a daily devotional. Pastor John has put together three daily devotionals that cover the entire Bible. A Pillar by Day and A Day of Feasting are taken from the Old Testament. A Day's Journey is a devotional from the New Testament. Each daily devotional has 365 short meditations and are presented in John's insightful and practical style. You may order each daily devotional from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.